Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Fee, your host for the show this week, and joining me tonight is Moddy and Bree. We are in lockdown here in Melbourne, and therefore the show is being produced from our respective bedrooms. Welcome to the show, Bree and Moddy.
Hey there, Fee.
Great to
have you.
Hi, Moddy.
Great to have you. Now, on tonight's show, we've got a big one as usual, and news is shifting and changing as the day goes on. We're, of course, going to review all the games from round six. We'll catch up on all the footy news. Moddy got to catch up with someone that actually got to attend a game. Can you imagine that, Chicks?
Oh, God, I miss it.
I know. It was actually weird talking about it, too.
Yeah, it's like in Melbourne, it just seems like an elusive dream these days. Of course, we're going to have our normal dinner table chat where we hash through the issues of the football world, and we invite you to come to our dinner table. We're always open to suggestions for those too. You can send them in through the tweets or whatever. The big games this week, the round six kicked off with a really great game, Geelong versus Brisbane. Geelong looked good, which I think even surprised some of the Geelong supporters we know.
And so this was Thursday night, yeah, or Friday? Yeah,
Thursday night, the bin night game.
Are we enjoying Thursday night games as a rule?
I love
Thursday night.
Hmm. Yeah, I put my son to bed and then I watch the footy. I love it.
This was a game of two halves, wasn't it? Brisbane were great in the first half and got out to a decent lead, but then Geelong dominated after that and ran away with it in the end.
Yeah, actually, our friend Dave Beckett tweeted that Brisbane's about to humiliate us, and then, of course, it went the complete opposite direction, and Geelong just couldn't do a step wrong. They were amazing.
And was he backpedalling? Was he backpedalling in his tweet, Dave, or was he...
I think he was surprised. He was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think he was pleasantly surprised. He couldn't believe what inspired footy they played, but they were really good, Geelong.
Yeah, I don't like it when Geelong are good, but, you know, isn't it funny? Week to week you think Brisbane's a grand final contender, and then next week Geelong is, and Port Adelaide, and it just keeps changing every week. But exciting, intense football. The next game was the Friday night game. I have to say, as a Hawks supporter, this was the Collingwood Hawthorn game. This was probably the most rubbish game of football I've seen Hawthorn play in maybe at least 5 years. It was kind of like watching Craigie Byrne under 18s. No offence to Craigie Byrne.
Oh God.
They didn't fire a shot though, did they, Hawthorn?
They did.
So who was the star in Collingwood? Anyone, or was it just... Oh, Majacek kicked four goals, didn't he?
Yeah, Majacek was really good, but it was a really rounded team performance from Collingwood. It was a domination, you'd have to say, and after the couple of weeks that they've had, it was a good response.
Yeah, I mean, Darcy Moore is always strong in their defence as well.
I was just going to say that, Fee. Since he's got his injury sorted, he is really so solid for them.
Yeah, he's just a wall up the back there.
It's incredible.
So,
yeah, indeed.
Where are the Hawks at, Fiona? I've heard a couple of comments this week that Hawks should be rebuilding.
Yeah, and there's, you know, of course there's calls for Alistair Clarkson to move on and all of that sort of thing. So, you know, we're not in a great place, I don't think.
Well, let's have a listen to Vetti, my friend Vetti, who actually went to the game at Giants Stadium in Sydney because she lives there.
Vetti McGill, welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
Thank you, Moddy. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're chatting.
Exciting.
Well, it is, isn't it? Well, it's probably more exciting for you, and the reason we're chatting to you is because you actually went to a game last night, and not only that, you watched your own team.
I did indeed, yes. I left the bubble and tooted on the train out to Giants Stadium, and that in itself was a first. I had actually not attended at that ground previously. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, aside from the result, it was a good experience overall.
And we've talked about that before, like not just through the COVID times, but about whether you'd go out to the Giants. And you're like, nah. It always made me laugh. So how long does it take? You live in a posho, fancy, inner, cool, inner city suburb. So how long did it take on the train?
I think from sort of go to woe, it was about 50 minutes. And a couple of swaps. So you go from King's Cross to Town Hall, Town Hall to Lidcombe, Lidcombe to Olympic Park. And, of course, the funny thing was, if it wasn't for a neighbour, I would have ended up at Homebush because I thought Olympic Park and Homebush were the same place.
Oh, I would have done the same thing, not that I'm from Sydney, but I would have, yeah, aren't they? Obviously not.
Yeah, well, being originally a Victorian, of course, I think a lot of us just think that the Olympics were at Homebush. But anyway, thanks to Leah. So thank you, Brianna, for seeing me right. Otherwise, now, it would have been an even worse night.
Now, okay, so tell me, you know, who's your team and what was the game?
Sorry, say again?
Who's your team and what? Who were they playing?
Okay, so my team, of course, is Hawthorn.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And yes, we came up against the Pies, as everybody would know, and it was very much the Pies from about the first 3 minutes to the end of the game.
Oh, you're kidding me. I didn't watch the game. I saw the score and it doesn't look good.
Yeah. So Brady Gurundy is an outright superstar. He absolutely smashed us in the middle. And I think in the first couple of minutes, the ball came down to our back line, and our back line actually defended well. I think there was a strong grab. I think it might have been, it was either Big Boy or our new D chap. I think I'm frosty. I don't actually, to be honest, I don't know who his name is. and then it went back down to the other end, which is the other end to where I was sitting. And then it came straight back down to the Collingwood end. And then it was, it was lights out.
It was black and white all the time. So tell me, how many people in the stadium? How many support, audience?
Yeah, so I understand that there was a cap of 2,000. But, Lottie, to be honest with you, I'm not the best of judge, but to be honest, I reckon there was probably about maybe 600 or 700.
Oh, really?
It was only the top tier that I could see, like the ground level there was security down there, and, you know, you could do a lap of the oval if you wanted to, but the actual seating area was roped off.
Right, okay. Because obviously no one can go to anything in Victoria. So I thought it was more than 2,000. So, no, is that Queensland? Maybe Queensland and Western Australia can have more than 2,000.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I actually thought it was 6. But whether that is a Queensland or a WA thing, I'm not so sure. But one of my fellow Hawks let me know this morning that it was capped at 2,000. But honestly, it was, I would love to know the official.
So that means maybe there aren't many Hawks and Pies up there, but also you're all a lazy bunch and you can't be bothered leaving the centre of city.
Well, that's true. And, I mean, we've just had a bit of a wintry blast up here, as you know, Sydney. Sorry, Victorians, Sydney weather is a good bit better.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm allowed to say that because I've lived and breathed Melbourne. I think you're right. I mean, I think there would probably be a very small number of Pie and Hawk supporters. But, I mean, it was still a good turnout, all things considered. And, I mean, especially, on a bit of a wintry night when have to, leave the comforts of the warm home and jump on the train and all that. But I just made the the most of it because I think it's the only game I'll get to see this year.
Probably. And tell me, you meant that, speaking of pies, what were they selling? Did they have, if with only a few people, were they bothering with pies and hot dogs, or did you have to bring your own?
No, there was. I saw people eating lots of hot chips. I could smell pies. I couldn't see them, and that's in the, you know, the eating variety. And there was, you know, the bars were open. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think they had the full array of,
no.
You know, tuck shops, for want of better words. But, yeah, there was plenty of food to keep people going.
Well, and we saw a photo, you're in your Hawke's Pride beanie, which would make Fiona Newton, obviously, my
yes.
colleague here at Chicks Talking Footy, very happy.
Absolutely. I know I'm a very, very proud Hawke's Pride member. And Fiona and Craig do a marvellous job at rallying the troops. And
do,
I love my beanie. I wear it quite often. And lots of people stop me and say, oh, gee, I really like your beanie. So, yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, seriously, Mots, what can you do with brown and gold? It's hard to make it look good.
So, Vetti, that's been great chatting to you. We might make you our, you know, north of the border reporter. Get you dial in from time to time.
Yeah, sounds great. And maybe next time my Hawks will bring home the bacon, so I'll be a lot happier.
So it's Saturday and you're still unhappy.
Sorry?
It's Saturday and you're still unhappy.
Oh, well, you know, I've just been for a big wander through town and I thought maybe I might have seen, you know, the odd hawk and, you know, get the finger out and give them a bit of a talking to. I think we're missing Luke Bruce dreadfully in our forward line and it's actually good to see that I think Jarman Impey is getting a run back home in Melbourne today.
Oh,
so,
is he?
If, you know, all things go well with him and his recovery, it'll be absolutely marvellous to see him back out. We need some run and some pizzazz.
You sure do. Okay, Vetti, great to chat. Speak again soon. Go Bobbies.
No worries, Mots. You take care.
Hey, it's Beck here, and you're probably listening to me on Chicks Talking Footy right now. When I'm not on Joy ranting about how my Adelaide Crows could be doing better, you'll find me at Nichols Family Lawyers, where I help people throughout all stages of family relationships. From those wanting to start a family through surrogacy or egg and sperm donation, to those navigating their financial and parenting arrangements at the end of a relationship and everything in between. You can contact me at Nichols Family Lawyers on 9670 4122. I promise I won't talk about footy too much.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. It's Fee here. We are broadcasting remotely tonight, and we do need to put in a disclaimer that it is Tuesday evening as we're recording. But as you know, the whole fixture could change by the time you're listening. We hope it doesn't change too much, but still plenty to talk about with the games that happened in round six. We were just talking about Collingwood and Hawthorn, but let's move on from that game because I was in a lot of pain. Fremantle and St Kilda, would you call this almost or one of the games of the round?
Oh, for awesome. Sure. For sure. Awesome game. Great for Fremantle. You know, great teams can make adjustments during games, and Fremantle needed to make a huge adjustment after St Kilda got out to a, like, six-goal lead at quarter time. And then after quarter time, it was basically one-way traffic. St Kilda stopped and Frio got back into the game and won it. It was probably Frio's best win for a long time. Wouldn't you say?
You know, I thought about it and I thought, you know, in some ways they both deserve to win because those last few, you know, say five, ten, well, in fact, the last quarter – Fremantle were amazing, but then it almost looked like the Saints were going to hang on, you know, like get back to it, but obviously they didn't.
Yeah,
but it was so exciting.
Justin Longmire has just been so good for Fremantle, hasn't he?
Longmuir. She's back. She's back. Our Sean Spice is back. Our mate Justin Longmuir.
Oh, no. He... He was a guest on our show about 2 weeks before he got promoted to the senior coach of Fremantle. So we like to think that we had some impact on that decision.
Well, so he's someone that didn't get the kiss of death from being interviewed by us.
We have interviewed two players this week that...
This year,
you know, have been dropped since they were talking on the show. So apologies to the players, Link and Tom.
And free warning to any future guests.
We're going to find it hard to get guests if we promote that.
Hey, do you know one interesting thing I saw, I know we're going to move on, but one comment in that game was that whoever kicked that last goal, that clutch goal for Freo, on the sort of, you know, towards the boundary right in the dying minutes, Justin Longmuir did that as well about 15 years ago against St Kilda and won the game.
No!
Yeah. Really, exactly the same thing. Really interesting.
Wow.
Have we underestimated Freo? Because they now go home. They're back in WA, you know, and they'll get a stretch of home games. They've been really competitive in the hub. So watch out for Freo.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, Fife.
I have to say, credit to...
I'm talking about injuries later in dinner table, so I'll mention Fife then.
It could be an advantage for interstate teams this year because they're more used to, I suppose, doing long stints of travel than perhaps some of the Victorian teams. And I have to say, Port and Frio, teams like that have been flourishing. Maybe West Coast and... the Crows not as much. But speaking of which, they played each other this week.
I know. Someone was going to get a win. That was good.
One team had to win. The Crows aren't looking so great, it would be fair to say.
Do you know what? I mean, what can you say? It's just the same week in, week out. They're deplorable.
I think they're going for draft picks, let's be honest.
You know, I'm not all doom and gloom. Matthew Nix is like 6 games into his career. So they're learning. They're going to make mistakes. So keep the faith, our Crows fans out there. I thought they showed some signs early in the first quarter. So they could
signs of signs of what, though?
Capitulation. Signs of life. Signs of life.
You have to play... four quarters, not just one, though, unfortunately. But there was an interesting thing that happened during the week leading up to this game. It was Riley O'Brien. He did a tweet, and he accidentally, there was some glitch with his phone where he accidentally tweeted the notes from his phone that happened to be kind of a dig at Nick Nat. His tweet said, West Coast, beat Nick Nat. Run off him hard. He is lazy and unfit. get in front. Have to game, though, or after the game, Nick Nat actually came up and gave him a new phone.
It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. A good gesture from Nick Nat. But,
Faye, I just want to, I'm really thrilled that my notes aren't accidentally getting printed because this is one of my recent ones. Buy tomato sauce, check sauce stain on armchair, because obviously the last of the tomato sauce got spilt on the armchair. Then give green pants a run in the dryer to get the tissue off them.
Wow, they're very detailed.
This is fascinating.
Is this your pre-game warm-up, is it? Like if you're eating a meat pie.
Yeah. And then chicken thighs times 6, no skin.
Wow.
Pork mince 2 times 200, obviously getting in the vibe for stage 4 lockdown.
Half-time snacks.
Oh, no, it says donuts at the bottom. God knows why.
Because you have donuts at the end of the game.
Probably.
Now, I don't think the consequences of you accidentally deleting that are quite as high as Ryan's. But
certainly not.
There were some other games. Melbourne and the Suns. Melbourne came up on this one.
Yeah, much to my displeasure because I never know when to tip Melbourne, so I tipped the Gold Coast. And then the week I did, Melbourne played well. They were actually quite good, Melbourne, this week.
And Breeze actually scored the second highest score of the round.
They did.
Breeze, her tips have gone down several times because of Melbourne.
I got three this week.
Three tips.
Three.
Oh, yeah. It was a hard week. There was about four games that could have gone either way, which made
it. Well, I mean, this game was, apart from Melbourne actually winning, it was the birth or the, it's not the birth, was it? He wasn't born. Isaac Rankin burst onto the ground, and he's been talked about since 2018. He was in the Sam Walsh year. And people have just said, once you see this guy, he's unbelievable. And all reports say that he was, and that he's going to be really something.
I tweeted that because I rewatched all of his three goals. Mm. There's a lot of Jason Ackermanis in the way he moves. So particularly the first goal, but watch for that. He could be a star.
I hope he's not a dickhead like Jason Ackermanis.
Yeah, minus being the dickhead, that'd be good.
Now, next.
Lottie.
Look what's next.
Lottie, yeah. The Bombers and North.
A victory.
They don't like each other, Bombers and North, do they?
There was a couple of comments beforehand which I thought were really funny. One from Devin Smith. This is before the game. Someone said to him, you guys don't like each other. And he goes, oh, no, we don't really care. I think they don't like us, but, you know, we don't care. Like, and then one of the coaches said the same thing. Oh, there's people we like worse. I mean, if they don't want to like us, whatever. Like they really played it down. Probably
that's
just
hilarious.
Because North were going, yeah, it's a grudge match. So weird game. It was a struggle. It wasn't a great game. And certainly when North, you know, kicked away in the first sort of 5 or 10 minutes, you just go, oh no. Because, you know, if you're an Essendon supporter, you just never feel confident. But, you know, they came back, they played well. Zaharakis was like, you know, he took 6 years off his age. He, you know, kicked three goals and he kicked them when they were needed to be kicked. So that's impressive. Andrew McGrath was really excellent. He was in everything and he's number one draft pick, but he really shows it. He's got real polish. There's a funny story I heard Brendan Goddard say about him, that when he got to the club, BJ said to him, oh, so, you know, do you have any nicknames? And he goes, oh, well, people call me Pidge, but I don't really like it, so I won't go with that. And BJ just said to him, mate, you shouldn't have said that.
You just set yourself
so
up.
So he's been called Pidge ever since. Obviously, Pidge from Pidge and McGrath, Glenn McGrath, the cricketer. But so he's been called Pidge for ever since.
Wow.
Anyway, look, great to get a win. I sound like a player now, but, yeah, it was excellent.
What was the North player that made that horrible gesture to Connor McKenna?
Luke McDonald.
I mean, that was just so inappropriate. I'm glad there was an apology for that.
Yeah, but I mean, 350,000 people have died around the world, Luke.
Yeah,
you know, maybe have a think about that. Yeah,
inappropriate. It's actually about 500,000. But anyway.
Is it? Okay,
yeah,
God.
It's a lot of people, Motti.
Oh, shit. But
yeah, I never would have guessed you're a Bomber supporter. But anyway, the next game was Port and the Giants, and Port won. Port won. They look good again. Like they really do look good this year. Maybe Rachel Hopkins is right. They could be premiership contenders.
Well, aren't they on top of the ladder?
Are they still? They lost the game. Oh yeah, they are. They are. They're still on top of the ladder.
It's their 150th year anniversary, and they haven't been shy in saying that they want to win a premiership in their anniversary year. So,
okay, they've got that motivation.
I think that that's their motivation. They're certainly playing well now, but we all know you don't give out premierships in July. So let's see if they're there when the whips are cracking at the end.
Well, you've got to give them credit. They're on top of the ladder after being in the hubs. You know,
yep, they've done well. They've away from home. They haven't. You know, worried about it.
Did you see Koshy? Did you see Koshy came out and said that Port have done the heavy lifting and the Vic clubs are whinging that they're in the hub? And so this Vic bias again. He loves stirring the pot, doesn't he?
He does Koshy? Love it.
I reckon he does it just to wind up Eddie more than anything.
Now, here's a game that we might want to forget. Richmond and Sydney, gosh.
Oh my goodness, do we want to forget it? We won't be reaching for this tape, that's for sure.
Yeah. It was to rent. I don't know if we actually tape games anymore, Breeza, but
I certainly do. Well, I record them.
Oh, I love you, Breeza.
But it was a, you know, torrential rain for one, Queensland. And when it rains in Queensland, it's not like Melbourne where you get a, you know, that drizzly rain. It is like tropical rain. Mm. So it was heavy. But,
no, but we're not using that as an excuse for you. And I'm going to talk about this in dinner table.
Yeah.
Because it was equally as wet for the Blues and Dogs game. And look at the spectacle that Carlton turned on.
Yeah, true.
Well, let's get on to the Carlton Bulldogs game, and we'll might talk a bit more about Richmond Sydney in dinner table, as you said. Carlton.
Oh my gosh, they scored the highest score of this round. What, and one of, I think, five teams that have scored over 100 points this year. This year.
And they really walloped the Bulldogs, and that, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, they've just been a delight to watch, and I think, Teig said at the end, I hope Carlton supporters really enjoyed that game because, you know, they've deserved to be enjoying
it. Well, we certainly heard from a few, didn't we, since they're now in the eight, the first time since 2013.
Yeah, the worst thing, I don't mind in a way the players, I think it's good for them, but boy, Carlton supporters are annoying. They really are. They're so, they carry on, don't they?
Well, congratulations to Carlton Pride and Shelley Ware and all the Carlton supporters that we know. But in a moment, we're going to come and talk about or invite you to sit at our dinner table and hash out all the issues in football this week. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
Welcome to the Chicks Talking Footy dinner table, where we invite you to come and sit with us and digest entree, main and dessert. And it's a special time for us because we like to hash through the issues, have a rant, discuss things, solve the world's problems, especially, well, in the AFL community anyway. So I want to talk about entree. Can I bring entree to the table first?
Please do.
Beautiful. Now, there was a beautiful message that was put out by Bashar Hooley, and it came out this week that his mum has contracted COVID, corona. And
terrible.
Yeah, which is really sad news in this time. And I sort of think, you know, the isolation that we're all experiencing, if someone close to you like that gets sick, you cannot see them, and how horrible that would actually be. And he put out this message on his Instagram. I'll play it for you now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you all. I thought I'll share a very quick message and a reminder for myself and everyone out there, and more specifically to the Muslim community out there. I want to share a personal experience with the current situation that we're all facing out with this COVID-19. My family has been affected by COVID-19, and it's been tough. It's been a tough time. You know, when you're restricted and you're isolated, and you know, it's very touching. And more specifically, my mother's been affected a lot. She's currently in ICU, undergoing some heavy treatment. Alhamdulillah, the team in ICU is taking care of her. Her current state. Is a mixed one. Allahu alam, God knows best her situation. But what burns and what hurts truly is the fact that no one from her family members can go and visit her, which is very, very tough. Please put yourself in this position. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but rather think about it in general, and think about it as it being you and part of your family. And hopefully you can change your mindset about COVID-19. The reality is it is out there, and I'm experiencing it right now within my family.
Wasn't that just a beautiful message to his community?
Sure was.
He's quite a remarkable man. I think the way he has, there's the Hooley Leadership Institute where he runs clinics for young Muslim girls. He just does so much. I think he's a really respected part of that community. And I think even the message that, encouraging his community just to really take this seriously and do something about it. And I think when leaders within their own community say messages like that, it's just much more powerful than, when people outside your community trying to preach a message, if you like.
I totally agree. I mean, as good as Dan Andrews is, in a weird kind of way for elements of the community, Bash's message is probably stronger. Can I ask a question? Do we think that him not going away with the team had something to do with the fact that his mum was unwell? Or is it just a coincidence?
It's hard to know. I mean, he said the reason was because his wife had just had a new baby. So either of those reasons are a very legitimate reason to not go.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
But, if you look at the – I mean, that video now has been – broadcast right through AFL media, but also, it was on The Project, it's on ABC News this morning. So him speaking so personally to his own community, it's gone out. And good on him for doing that, I think. I don't think he even intended for it to be broadcast quite as broadly as it has, but it's certainly been a powerful message.
Yeah, he's a dude. Well done, Basha.
We love you.
Even though you did leave Essendon.
I didn't know that.
Thank you for coming to Richmond, Basha.
Well, in fact, he got pushed out, to be honest. I think she'd said, you're not going to get, enough games.
Wow.
So if you want to go somewhere, bloody idiot.
Apparently he's done with him. Two premiership games, just saying.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a Richmond, Richmond themed dinner table tonight. It's a strange that happens when you're on the show, Breeza.
I know. I had no influence over the run sheet at all.
All right, what you got for us, Breeza?
Okay, so a disclaimer at the top of this dinner table is for main course. It's a bit of a rant from me this week.
We love a rant on this show.
We do, and I'm getting on my soapbox, which Bechdel, co-host of this show, will absolutely love. So
she will sanction it, Breeza.
Oh, yeah, she will sanction it, yeah. So as we know, the Swans versus Richmond game was the lowest-scoring game since 1996. Richmond were 4-10-34 and the Swans were 3-8-26. The Tigers kicked one goal after quarter time whilst the Swans kicked two. After the game, Dimmer, in his post-match press conference, had a lot to say about the state of the game. Let's take a listen to what Dimmer had to say.
Oh, it was a horrendous game of football, there's no doubt about that. It was hard to watch, it was hard to play, it was just incredibly frustrating. And unfortunately, it's sometimes how games pan out. You have a lot of players in 1D50, they can't get out and we can't score. So, I think we had 50-odd inside 50s for, 4 or 5 goals, which is farcical in nature, really. Horrible game of football. Yeah, it was. We knew that. We just couldn't execute to use our spare as well as theirs. But the fact of the matter is that the spare's down there, but it was, the ball was played in our half for the majority. I think it was 29 forward half turnovers to 9. So it was down there for the vast majority of the game. And, a player that's running around, he's all good players, but I didn't think we were much chance of scoring, but they were no chance of scoring. I think they got 2 goals from 50-metre penalties, but outside of that, they kicked 1 goal for the game. It's like, we set up the game to try and win it and not to lose.
So does the spectacle concern you, or are you just concerned?
Oh, look, if games are like this tonight, absolutely, for mine. And,
what could you do, I guess, if this scenario arises?
Well, there's not much I can do. I'm sitting here. We're attacking, and we've got 75,000 people in our 450, so it's pretty hard. Once again, we're to figure out how to negate. It's probably happened a couple of times this year, and it's become a tactic in the AFL. Fallback mentality is really keeping sides in games at the moment. It's creating probably their game that we got tonight. Not pretty.
Sorry, mate. Any concern
of late? No, actually, it's the last half of the last quarter. Yeah, it was good actually trying to win the game. You know, the way the game wants to be played, so I commend them for that.
Now, as you just heard, Dimmer was quite strong in his views on the spectacle of the game. And then John Longmire the next day fired back, saying Damien's comments were unnecessary and unwarranted and just weren't correct. And that, in actual fact, the Swans didn't play an extra in defence. They just held their sixth defender in their position. So the points I want to make on my soapbox tonight, Chicks, and for everyone that's listening at home and playing along at home, firstly, I thought Dimmer's comments were clearly out of frustration with how the game played out. And when the match that you've just coached yields the lowest scoring match since 1996, coaches commenting on the state of the game is neither unnecessary nor unwarranted. The game was horrendous and it was boring and did not feature once in the highlights of the round in mainstream media. Fans literally turned it off. And that's not what we want, Chicks.
No, it's not.
I think mainstream media have missed Dimmer's point entirely. The main point in my mind that Dimmer was trying to make was when you're attacking and you have a lot of players in your 50-metre arc and they can't get out and the attacking team can't score, it makes the game difficult viewing and the spectacle is poor. That point goes both ways, no doubt. And Richmond did contribute to the lowest score since 1996. But some teams more than others fold back and flood their defence during the flow of the game to stop sides from scoring. And in my view, this is what the game needs to fix. So either the coaches fix this fold-back strategy that is impeding teams from scoring and having a more attacking game plan and instructing their players not to fold back across all parts of the ground, or the rules of the game committee bring in a rule that limits the number of players allowed in the 50-metre arcs at any one time. So that would mean 6-6-6 during the flow of the game. So perhaps only 6-6 in the arcs at any one time can be a mix of any players by or man on man. John Longmire was strong that Richmond play an extra on the ball and that we have done for a long time and they hold their spare in defence. That's fine. Dimmer acknowledged that and acknowledged that Richmond couldn't utilise their spare to any great effect. Longmire said that Richmond could have brought their spare man back up to man Mills up, and that's fine. Dimmer could have done that, but equally, Longmire could have brought his spare up on the ball to halve that contest and get the ball in a more attacking area of the ground so that the Swans were more attacking.
You're on AFL 360 with Bree McCauley.
Yeah, Caro's arrow freezes.
Hey, Bree, I think you left your caps lock on. Because that was a really strong rant.
That was a caps lock and an exclamation mark.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is the coaches need to own this. And so I commend Dimmer for actually, even though it was born out of frustration, I actually commend him for bringing the point of the spectacle to the game into a public forum for a conversation starter.
I would probably like to take an opposite view to you, Breezer, which is I'm nervous about.
I'll umpire this discussion.
Is it okay if I go ahead?
Go ahead, caller.
I think I don't care who if they play ugly because what I'm sure the coaches at the start of a game have got it in their head and they think, yeah, if this is for the fans, it is for the this, it is for the that. But as soon as it gets tight, their responsibility is to win the game and to get 4 points. And I don't think it's their responsibility to make it a good spectacle. I think it is the AFL's responsibility, the commissions, the laws of the games, whoever they are, they are the ones who should do it.
Yep, I take your point. And, you know, it might take both sides. It might take a change in the rules plus, you know, a memorandum of understanding with that the coaches all sign up to improve the spectacle of the game.
Do you know what I love is that there was always so much talk about the low-scoring female games
I love
you
that
know,
too.
AFLW games. Oh, that seems to have gone by the wayside.
Yeah,
now,
sorry, AFLW trolls, where are you? Can't hear a peep.
Well, I'm not going to have time.
No dessert.
It's a savoury meal only. Anyway, we've come to the end of the dinner table and we're going to have a chat about the next round's games shortly.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. I'm Fee. Joined with me remotely is Bree and Motti. We are in our bedrooms because we're in lockdown and we might be in more lockdown soon because the cases in Victoria in particular seem to be not stabilising and not going down, which is obviously sent teams into state, but it's now sort of spread into New South Wales and possibly even the tip of Queensland. So I don't know about you, but the cluster in the Crossroads Hotel, I don't know if anyone gets the irony of a cluster starting up being called the Crossroads Cluster.
I hadn't thought of that.
But we are at a crossroads, obviously, but news is flying out of AFL headquarters about where teams are going to be played. I mean, the fixture is a week-by-week experience at the moment. Some of the New South Wales or the teams that are in New South Wales might have to move because those grounds are right near and where the hub is right near that cluster and some of the clusters out west in Sydney. So,
afternoon, the Queensland government has closed its borders to 77 Sydney suburbs.
77?
So, yeah, and those Sydney suburbs are within Campbelltown City and Liverpool City. So, where the Demons train and where GWS are not in those areas, but they are in that vicinity. So I think that's is why the AFL are starting to make some moves in terms of getting the New South Wales teams out of New South Wales.
And there's some driver that's some kind of super spreader, so look out, everyone, God. I think. But that could affect games this weekend.
Absolutely. Definitely it could. But do you know what it's reminding me of? It's reminding me of like a cartoon, like Roadrunner or something, that as soon as, they get settled and then, oh, my God, something's happened, or Snakes and Ladders or something's happened. Yeah, maybe Snakes and Ladders is an analogy, like, because they just have to keep moving.
Yeah.
Flexible and agile.
I think the teams that are able to adapt to that have the advantage this year, and I actually think that's an interesting new dimension to the game this year.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn Wilson on Footy Classified, she said there's reports that Sydney and GWS even are going to have to move out of New South Wales and into a hub in another state as well. So look out.
Fixture might have to be rewritten a little bit or adjusted again because there's two games scheduled in Sydney.
Okay. That's geez, it's complicated. It's like a Rubik's Cube, that fixture.
Totally.
But there's a few games coming up for round seven. We're not sure exactly where they're going to be played. But as far as we know, Geelong and Collingwood will be playing each other. Breeza, where will they play, do you think?
Geelong and Collingwood are at Optus Stadium in
WA. So they're
flying.
Perth.
Yeah,
Perth. That's perfect.
But so, that's halfway between – that's halfway – between their 14-day self-isolation. So they go over there, go and stay in their hotel, isolate, but both teams are doing it, they can play each other.
Oh.
Then the stadium will get a deep clean.
Wow.
Then they will continue to isolate until the 14-day point, and then they can play the West Australian teams, something like that.
I tell you what, being a deep cleaner is a new industry, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Sure is. Loaded.
Bombers and the Bulldogs. Motti, is your team going to get up?
Should.
You might be without Dylan Scheel this week, Motti.
He's got 2 weeks.
We will be. He's appealing actually.
Oh,
Tuesday night, yeah. But it won't be cleared. It'll only go down to one if he's successful anyway. So, no, we don't have him next week. Stringer's out. You know, there's some that makes it Heppel, Stringer, Scheel, and sort of almost can't count Danaher. But they're three very important players for us. But having said that, we should still win.
Yes, I would put my money on it. GWS and the Brisbane Lions. So, who do we think is going to win that one? I reckon that's going to be an interesting game.
Did you say Giant Stadium, Breezer?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it gets moved on. Who knows?
Well, yeah, that's a game that could be a big question mark. They might have to play it up in Queensland.
Yep.
I wonder if they could play them rural, you know, if they could go inland. Maybe there's not the grounds for it. Who knows?
Like Orange or somewhere.
Well, I was thinking that sort of thing, yeah.
And another game that could get moved is the Sydney Suns game.
Yep, that's at SCG.
It's scheduled for the SCG, but gosh, who knows? Richmond.
I reckon, do you know what I reckon about that? I reckon the Suns could easily beat them because Heaney's out, Isaac Heaney's out, and Josh Kennedy's out. Like, that is massive for that
two
team.
Two mature players in a very young team.
Yeah, and add to that Lance.
Naismith.
Like, again, that's some very, very big names and very big positions that aren't being filled.
That's true. And look, the Suns have been playing quite well.
Up
until being beaten last week, they were playing really well.
And now they've got the new Brownlow medalist playing, Isaac Rankin. They'll be, you know, he's taken over from Matt Rao.
Yeah, well.
Brownlow medalist or rising star?
Both. I saw a headline saying, could Matt Rao win the Rising Star and the Brownlow? God. Easy does it, mate.
Has that been done before?
No.
No, there you go. Richmond North.
I'm thankful that this is at Metricon and not at Etihad because we play Etihad Stadium terribly. So I have more faith that Richmond can win this one.
Oh, you were whinging about that game, weren't you?
I was whinging about that one because we never get North Melbourne at the MCG. They haven't played at the MCG for about 10 years.
Oh, wow, there you go. Well, they're not playing it either now. They're playing, as you said, up in the Gold Coast. Carlton versus Fremantle, I reckon this will be the game of the round, surely.
Carlton versus Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide, sorry.
I don't know. I still don't think
Now that I've realised it's Port Adelaide and not Fremantle, I'd say Port Adelaide.
Not the game of the round.
Not the game of the round, yes. Hawthorn versus Melbourne. I don't know. Gosh, Hawthorn's playing so badly that I think Melbourne could beat us.
Well, they could.
Interesting.
They could.
I can't figure out what's going on.
Well, you don't have many injuries either. I mean, Jonathan Patton, but...
He was on the bench crying, and we were all on Twitter thinking, oh no, he's got a season ending injury, and you know he's had a big journey to get where he is.
The problem with hamstrings, knees is it affects your hamstrings. So he's had three knees, so it makes your hamstrings tiny bit shorter or compromised, so it's easier to do them. Yep.
But anyway, it should only be a couple of weeks, so that's
should good. Only. Here's your boyfriends, Fremantle versus versus the
Derby.
This is a derby, yeah. Hmm. Is this being played out west?
This is in Derbyland,
Derbyland.
Oh, that's exciting because I'll actually get a crowd to that.
I wonder if we should check in with Danae and see if she's going to go. Fife may not play.
Oh,
because hasn't come up. Well, yet I heard an interview with him earlier today. He hasn't come up well yet from the game. He probably played on the weekend when he shouldn't have because he hadn't got over his hamstring, and he hasn't come up well enough just yet. He said with the not enough training is affecting their recovery time.
Wow,
interesting.
It is interesting.
Mm.
The last game of the round is Crows versus St Kilda.
On a Monday, what do we think of Monday night football? It's going to be here for a couple of weeks.
I'm happy.
So that's because they're kind of saying, well, Melbourne's in lockdown. You might as well keep everyone entertained and have football on every night of the week. But I don't know about Monday night. I don't know. I guess I've got nothing else on.
Now, okay, chicks, we've got a little bit of time for me to bring back, by popular demand, the segment No Warning.
You've given us no warning about this segment, everybody.
No,
this,
I have not.
This could go anywhere.
I've only got two because we are tight for time. So what phrase annoys you most? One, I take full responsibility. Two, we'll wrap our arms around him. Three, as long as I'm playing my role.
Three, as long as I'm playing my role.
Two for me.
Yeah, the wrap our arms around him. I can't bear it. Particularly sounds so ridiculous in COVID times. You're not allowed to touch anyone.
We'll elbow bump him.
Okay, now the second one is, now that you can eat and drink whatever you like watching the game because you're in your lounge room, what is it?
A jar of Nutella.
You eat a jar of Nutella?
I eat it by the spoon.
Do you? Oh, my God. Yeah,
oh, you weird cat.
It's like a Ferrero Rocher, never ending. It's lovely.
I just never got into Nutella.
Love
no.
it.
No.
Never did no. for me. Mm. Barisa?
I'm doing it for the team.
Look, anything that I'm baking right now, Moddy, I'm baking up a storm during COVID. So I made a lemon cake the other day and Petra's nearly eaten it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Barisa's been putting her baking goods on the Instagram. You should follow her just for that.
Mm. Well, mine is, surprisingly, pies and Pinot Noir.
With some sauce that you then have to wipe off the chin.
Off the arm cheek.
Yeah.
I love it. Pies and Pinot.
Pies and Pinot. Dad and I haven't really changed much in the last several years. Whenever we watch footy, that's what
we have. I was
going to
say, you've been doing that for a couple of decades.
Yeah, we have now. So that's it, team. Hope you've enjoyed the show. And, you know, don't forget to follow us on the socials.
And give us your 5 stars on the Apple iTunes reviews.
Exactly. And enjoy your footy this weekend, chicks, and enjoy the footy this weekend, everyone.
And enjoy 6 days of football.
You're tuned in to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. Proudly brought to you by Nichols Family Lawyers. Need help with family law? Contact Nichols Family Lawyers on 9670 4122.